Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can partake of the broadcast and pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues that you face. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so call now. 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about forgiveness this month. It's such a critical message. Had a wonderful email that came in from a lady named Jenny who works with an organization that ministers in Haiti. And she wrote to us and asked if she could translate the 28-day challenge into Haitian Creole, so that she could pass out this message to the kids that she works with. And I thought that was such a wonderful, wonderful email and so encouraging. Why? Because kids need to know that their sins are forgiven. That's what I needed to know. I struggled with guilt and shame and fear most of my adolescent life, even into my college years and some after college. And it was the message of forgiveness that really flipped the switch for me.
One of those things, yes, flipped the switch for me
so that I could really experience the new life that I had in Christ. And I think it's so important that we understand this forgiveness. And one aspect of forgiveness that I think is so radical when you think about it is the fact that God doesn't keep a list of our sins.
Right.
We're so afraid that he's got this detailed list of every sin, and not only the act of it, but the motivation behind it. You know, we can look at the acts and forget about the motivations, but boy, when you look inside the heart, that's when things really get dark, and we fear that God has all of that categorized and filed and listed and all of that sort of stuff. And at some point, we're going to stand before him and he's going to pull it all out and it's just going to lay it out there for us. But that's not the case. Jesus died for all of those sins. That list was on full display at the cross. And Jesus died for every single one of those sins. He cast them into the lake as far as the east is from the west, and God says he chooses to remember them no more. So there's no accounting of sins. It was accounted for, it's been dealt with, paid in full, and now it's been tossed aside. That's the good news. That's why Paul could say that love keeps no records of wrongs.
Right. Yeah.
If you think God is up there listing out every sin, think again, because it's not true. That's not biblical thinking. What the Bible says is that love keeps no records of wrongs. And I love this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, where it talks about the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them.
Yeah.
God could choose to count our sins against us, but because of the shed blood of Christ, he chooses not to. And that's a message that we can take to anybody, anywhere. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, what they are doing. We can say to them with the utmost confidence and assurance that because of the work of Jesus Christ, God is not counting that, whatever it is, against you right now. That's good news. That's basic gospel.
That's good news, and it's a good thing that God is not dwelling on sin, and he doesn't want us to either.
That's right.
1-800-677-9377. Open lines. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk with Ariel listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ariel.
How you going?
Going well. Hello? Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Nice to hear you guys. I have a quick question. It's about salvation. I was hearing yesterday's show, and I heard a person speaking about, what if you're a Christian and decide you want to go back to the world, commit suicide? And I heard you guys speak about saying even Christ could forgive your sins then. But I think you're teaching a damnable heresy, because how can it be that a person that commits suicide and claim that they are saved, be saved? I understand that God forgives sins, but that's ridiculous. There's a limit to God's saving grace.
Where do you get that, Ariel? Give me a verse of scripture.
I get it directly from the book of Proverbs.
Can't find one, Ariel.
Well, I'm driving right now, so I can't give you a direct quote, but I know in the book of
Hebrews. You're so confident and assured of your position, you ought to have the passage right on the top of your head. Is there a limit to God's grace? Is there a limit to God? And is there a limit to what God can do? If we think there is, we're just not thinking right. We're not seeing it for what it is. Grace is something that is so foreign to our natural way of thinking. But God has to deal with us in grace. That's the only way that we could be saved. And grace saves us completely, not just partially. And when Christ saves us, he saves us by giving us new life. That's the whole thing that we miss. We don't see that Christ has made us alive just as he raised Jesus from the dead. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are made alive spiritually. And the life that we have is Christ's life. And the only way that we can lose it is for Christ to lose his life. And he lives forever. And because he lives forever, we're going to live forever. That's just the way it is. And, you know, there's no, ranking of sins. There's not one sin that is worse than another as far as God is concerned. They all deserve the same punishment. Now, either Jesus took that punishment for us, or he didn't. Some of us, and this is what Ariel is trying to say, is that he only died for a certain amount of sins. He didn't die for all sins, just for a certain amount of sins. Suicide is not one of those sins that he died for. But that's not what the scripture has to say. He died for all sin. He died once for all time. That's what Jesus did. Now, we're either going to believe that or we're not going to believe it. Now, you know, why folks have such a problem is because they think, all right, once you sin, now I've got to do something in order to get back into God's good graces. That's the error. That's where we're not thinking biblically. That's where we're bringing in legalistic, religious, human thinking to the table. And when we do that, we miss the fullness of God's grace. We miss exactly what it is. And like I said, it is so foreign to our thinking. We have to allow God's Spirit to push all that human thinking out so that we can see the grace of God for what it really is. Now, some people, Ariel may be one of them, thinking that when you're talking about the grace of God, you're saying you can just go out and do anything that you want to do. That's not what we're talking about at all. God's Spirit comes to live in us. There are times that we give in to the desires of the flesh, when we give in to the temptations of the world? Absolutely. Well, what if we died right in the middle of that? What if I was telling a lie? And died right in the middle of telling a lie, would I be lost? According to Ariel, that would be the case. Mm-hmm. Well, what are we saying about the work of Christ? And that's what we have to talk about. The work of Jesus Christ. Was it sufficient to save us or not? And if he saved us, we can count on the fact that he saved us forever. As the writer of Hebrews said, Jesus saves us completely because of his indestructible life. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to teach us the fullness of God's grace. I said, most people that I know who really are teaching the fullness of God's grace, they're the most godly people I know. They're the ones that are allowing God's Spirit to move them in incredible ways. One of my good buddies started a ministry down in Jamaica, just to minister to folks that didn't have homes. They're building houses. They're bringing the gospel message. And it was the very message of grace that compelled him to do that. This lady that wrote to us about wanting to bring this message of forgiveness to the children of Haiti. It was this message that compelled her to do that. It wasn't the Ten Commandments or all of those sort of things. It was the fact that Jesus, by his grace, saved her completely and took away her sins, all of them, once and for all. That truth did such a powerful work in her life. She's volunteering her time to translate, get information into kids' hands down in Haiti who need that. That's the grace of God moving in the heart of a person. Yeah. And if we will just trust God's grace, quit trying to figure it out with human reason and logic, trust God's grace, we will see God's grace doing amazing things in and through us.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Several calls on the line, but still a couple of open lines at 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Santa Clara, California, and talk with Ray, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Bob and Richard?
Hi.
Doing well. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, because it used to be Belmont, you know, San Carlos area. I just want to make sure you knew what you know. So.
Yeah. Well, what's on your mind today?
Anyway, we're going to discuss some. Similarly, you guys are saying, but I always, even from some of them that are grace teachers, not you guys, but a lot of them, they still say we're accountable for everything. And I get certain, I start shaking my boots, especially when they talk about money parts. They said, if you have to be a good steward and this and that, the other way you're going to stand before God and answer to all of it. I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to answer to all that, I'm in deep quicksand because I'm sure not faithful in stewardship, you know, your whole life and all that, you know, or... And that puts fear in me. It's like, well, if my sin's forgiven, why is God going to say you used your money the wrong way, or you didn't give enough to church, or you bought too much? You see what I'm saying? And make it sound like he's going to be analyzing that.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. We have to recognize that God looked at every single sin that you committed and will commit. He looked at every single sin that I have committed and will commit. He looked at all sin. And he judged it for what it was. I mean, he had the most harsh words and harsh judgment towards sin that you can imagine. It took the life of his son. It took Jesus's life. Jesus died in our place. That's a pretty harsh judgment for sin. And so we have to recognize that Jesus's death satisfied God's wrath on our behalf. That's that word propitiation. God is propitiated with the work of Jesus Christ, satisfied with what Jesus accomplished. Why aren't we? Why aren't we satisfied? And it's when we get satisfied that this Christian life opens up. And I wish people would really hear that. When we embrace what Christ did for us at the cross, that is a door swinging wide open that draws us in to this ocean of grace and life and joy and peace and goodness and patience and all of those things that God pours into our hearts and lives by his Holy Spirit. Don't fight this. It's good news. Let it be good news in your life. Well, Ray, great to hear from you as always. Let's go up to Long Island, New York and talk with Harry. Hi, Harry.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks. I had a couple things I want to squeeze in here quick because I've always been confused on the issue of forgiveness. If Jesus died once for our sins, one time, what would be the need for us to ask for forgiveness again? Why do we verbally have to ask for forgiveness? That would be my first point. And secondly, if the Apostle Paul could go so far as to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? He's calling himself wretched. And he wrote, what, two-thirds of the New Testament. So I think that a lot of us are in pretty good shape based on that as far as forgiveness.
In the point, he answers, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the one who saves us. And he not only saves us from that body of death, he comes to live inside of us. And as we abide in him and trust in him and rely upon him, then we're going to see his life being lived out through these bodies of ours. That's a miracle. That's an absolute miracle. So Jesus died for our sins once for all, Harry, and I think you bring up a good
yeah,
question.
Excellent.
If I have forgiveness, why do I keep asking for it? Yeah. We naturally want to do that. We sin, we hurt somebody, we feel bad about it. And then we naturally think, Lord, please forgive that. And when we ask that, when we offer that prayer up to God, God gently reminds us, said, that's what I did in Christ. I sent Jesus. Well, he died in your place. And guess what? You already have forgiveness of sins. When you received Jesus, you received forgiveness of sins. That's what God does for us. That's how he communicates to us. And boy, you just come to the point, say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That my forgiveness is something that you gave to me, not something that I earned, not something that I merited, but something that you did for me in Christ. Thank you. And that's the response of faith. When we can learn to thank the Lord for the shed blood that he offered for us, that's when this message is really starting to take root in our hearts. And then at that point, we can start to thank God for what he's going to continue to do in our lives to complete the work that he began.
Well, thank you.
Does that make sense to you, Harry?
Yeah, it makes sense, but I've always felt that sin, I always felt that, the question, I should just ask the question, does sin block you from a relationship with God? In other words, if we're required to continually confess our sins, that means that we're in a state of sin continually. So that means that we would confess our sins, and then we're in a state of sin. So my question is it blocking a relationship with God? I mean, you know, some sins are greater than others. Let's face it. I mean, I would think so.
Well, what God wants us to do, Harry, is to walk in truth. And when I sin, I know that that's a violation of God's law. I know the root of that is unbelief. That's what the Word of God teaches. And so we understand that. But then I have to ask the question, what did Christ do with that? And that's where truth comes in. Christ died in my place. He took the punishment for that sin. Well, what is going to do the Father's heart good is for us to walk in that truth, to believe that it is true for us.
I understand that, but I guess what I'm trying to get to the point of is, would God, is God likely to help the wretched sinner as much as he's able, would he be likely to help the sinner in walking in sin as much as the person who's not in sin or who's not, you know, who's not acting out on sin?
Well, Harry, let me answer it this way. Sinners are lost. And so God's purpose in their lives is to open their eyes to Jesus Christ so that they can come to know him by faith and go from death to life so that they can be saved. Now, for us who are saved, we're no longer reckoned as sinners. We've been given a new identity. That identity is child of God. As a child of God, we are forgiven and loved forever. And so his work in our hearts is to assure us that we belong, to assure us that our sins have been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and to pour out his love inside of us so that we can be a vessel of that love to others. So, Harry, if you've come to Christ by faith, you're a child of God. Are you going to sin? Yes, you are. Does God turn his back on you when you do? Absolutely not. He is right there with you, and he never stops communicating with you. He never stops loving you. He never stops being there with you. His presence is always right there with you, Harry. And when you choose to think that he's a million miles away, that's when you feel like you know that your communication has been blocked. But the truth is, he's right there with you.
I got your point. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Mo in Long Isle, New York. Hi, Mo.
Oh, hi. How are you today?
Doing well. How can we help you?
Yes, please. I need some more clarification on grace covering suicide. I believe it's 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. So this kind of ties in a little bit to what you just told the last caller. I mean, if one commits suicide, where is the opportunity to seek forgiveness? And, you know, that's one aspect of it.
Well, Mo, if somebody commits suicide, we're trying to figure out what happens to them. And Richard answered this either earlier this week or last week. We don't really know, because we don't know what that person's relationship with the Lord was. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. Had a interesting email from a lady named Susan who lives out in Sacramento. And she said, when my mother committed suicide, many churchgoers told me she was in hell. Well, the bottom line is no one knows but God. When Satan tries to torment me with that, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and I accept that I don't know. Those folks were not a comfort to this lady. They were saying because she committed suicide, that's the unpardonable sin, she's in hell. They weren't talking truth because they don't know. They don't know what that lady's relationship was with the Lord. We've had two ladies that have worked with our ministry. We've known their relationship with Christ. We've heard their testimony. And these two ladies, just in pain and agony, one because of an illness and some medication, both took their lives. Well, there's a lot of folks out there. A lot of Job's friends would say to the families, those ladies are in hell. Well, I'm saying you don't know. I talked to both of those ladies. I heard incredible stories of their faith in Jesus Christ. I've saw them reach out to people in love and share this good news with others. But somehow there was such deep pain and agony that it took their lives. Now, what are we going to say about that? Well, all we can say, if they were truly saved, they were saved. And the reason they were saved wasn't because of anything that they did to begin with, or it wasn't anything that they did afterwards. They were saved because Jesus, in grace, reached down and saved them. And at a point in time, took them out of darkness and placed them into light, took them out of death and placed them into life. That's what this gospel message is all about. Now, we keep trying to bring ourselves back into the equation. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to do all sorts of things. Well, the minute that we try to insert ourselves into the equation is the minute that we rob grace and life and mercy of their power. So let's accept grace for what it is. Let's not try to make judgments on, is this person in hell or not? They committed suicide. Some people's theology would say they're in hell. But I'm telling you, their theology can't answer that question correctly. All we can say is if they were saved, they were saved forever. And the reason we can say that is because of the blood and the life of Jesus Christ. Does that help, Mo?
Okay.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call. Again, we're trying to say, you know, we have to do something in order to get God to forgive. That's not how it works. God initiates.
We respond.
That is the pattern that God has established for us in Christ. And when we recognize that, it all fits together.
Absolutely. Well, a lively program today, thanks to those of you who call to be a part of it. We produce many valuable resources to assist you in growing in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them, of course, as we've said, is Bob Christopher's insightful message, In the Love of God. As we've noted many times there, we are dependent upon you, our listeners, to keep this broadcast on the air, connecting people with the love of Jesus. When you make a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy of Bob's CD. It's called, as I said, In the Love of God. You can make your gift and request your copy at basicgospel.net or by calling our order line at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828, and our operator is on duty during Central Time office hours. We ask you to help today by making your most generous tax-deductible gift. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us for this edition. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.